Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
What's up, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans? This is Alan Bishop of If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything. You may know me better as Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest, but if you're at all interested in the Fortean, high strangeness, the paranormal, and the unexplained, then you should tune into my new podcast, If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything, available now wherever you get your podcast, including Spotify, Google Podcast, and Amazon.
Welcome back to another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We've got... And we've got...
CT.
What's up, everybody?
And we got the kid in the house.
Hi.
Yep, I'm here. And we also have a special guest. Turner Wathen of Rolling Fork Spirits. We've had Turner on before. We've hung out with Turner. Welcome, Turner.
Welcome, Turner.
Hey, all right.
It's great to have you on the podcast. Remember, we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com for everything Scotchy Bourbon Boys, Glen Cairns t-shirts, bourbon balls. If you want something like that, check it out or contact me on Facebook. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X, and then also on all the major podcast formats. Check us out on Apple, iHeart, Spotify, and any other place that you listen. Great to have everybody in the house tonight. It's good to have a full cast on a Tuesday night. We are doing this podcast for Rolling Fork Spirits, and Turner, it's always great to have you on here. It's like I love your background. You know, you are professional tonight.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know it.
So we know you didn't set that up all together. Was that your wife that just got you all set up beforehand, or did you actually do that?
My wife did that.
Well, we applaud her. Oh, there's God. We're gonna applaud.
Let's go.
Yes. But I have to say, enjoy the background, but also why don't you give everybody just a brief rundown of how you got into this business and initially, you know, I know it, we've heard, you know, Supernation CT kind of, but it's always good to, you know, run over for all the new people and the kid. Kids,
I have no idea what's going on. I need some background.
I'll let him pull you. He knows what's going on.
I really appreciate you guys, your time and allowing me to come on here. From Rolling Fork, derived from my family's Rolling Fork distillery that was started in 1786 before Kentucky was a state. Fast forward to 100 years, we were then one of the largest whiskey producers in the state of Kentucky, the first producer to install a continuous column still under the Arne Watkin Company. I can tell you a whole different story on a whole different podcast about the old Granddad brand and Basil Hayden's family and how our family came to acquire the old Granddad brand and become one of the few medicinal producers during Prohibition. So up through, you know, 1950s, I was part of the largest whiskey conglomerate in the United States. And classic American story, you got three generations of bad spending and alcoholism, and now I peddle this bullshit through rum.
And while there's a brief break, Stacy Pritchard says, hey, Turner.
Hello, Stacy. Thank you for joining. Oh, we got some hitters on here.
Well, and you've also got Greg Schneider talking about how your family has such a long, rich tradition in Kentucky. He's like, kudos to you. So, I mean, Turner, we know, obviously, and you know, I mean, you're a big friend, you know, fan of Greg. Greg Schneider's with us tonight on the Facebook Live. But, you know, I think he's also a fan of what you're doing, too. And, you know, that's one thing that's great about the spirits industry. You know, maybe talk about how, you know, what you're doing and all the people that you've met and the acceptance, because it's like you're not doing something that's most, you know, like when you're talking about the whiskey culture and everything, you know, you wanted to do something different, but talk about how it's been accepted.
Well, Now I'm one of the larger independent importers of rum in the United States. So I import rum from over 10 countries of jurisdiction. I have rum aging from unaged up to 18 years of age. But to qualify myself, I'm an independent bottler, meaning that I don't do any distillation currently. And being an independent bottler, I source rums from all across the Caribbean, and I barrel age and bottle them at the Starlight Distillery and Hooper Winery. Much respect to Ted and Dana and Blake and the family. And for me, I did never wanted to let my ancestry down. And so quality was the most important focal point of whatever I was going to do. And Greg can relate to the pitch deck culture of how we can rapid age something or find a way to create a tweak in something to make it better, faster, quicker. And in this industry, it does not work. Time in a barrel and production method and distillation method are the biggest factors that make something of ilk or of standard. And you can't bastardize that. You can't fix it. We've had people try recently. There's no micro-aging that works. There's no rapid aging. If you flavor something, then just call it a liqueur. But what we care about is the time-honored tradition of aging something in a barrel and hoping that your flavor sense and your particular effort in your craft allows you to procure something in a bottle that an audience doesn't hate.
Greg says, amen, brother.
Yeah. And so right now we got to get something in our glasses. And I definitely have also the weeded bourbon cask, you know, that's the 9 year. Is that the cask that we tasted, the Pappy cask that, you know?
That's not the Pappy cask, but that is an ORVW.
Okay.
That's, you guys, we drink out of an actual Bernheim weeder from 1997. That one was produced at the Buffalo. That cask came from the Buffalo.
Okay. All right. So I've got that one. I've got the one you initially, the Barbados 9 year that you sent up, which was the bottled in Indiana.
You have a 10 year sample, I believe.
Oh yeah.
Man, that if it's the 10 year, it's phenomenal, and it knows us like bourbon, and we're learning a lot about oak expressions and the different types of French oak or American white oak and their impact, and whether it's a wine barrel or a port barrel, and with lightly charred barrels. Oh, yeah. Rum is such a soft base product, but it's sugar based. It's not very oily in nature. That something that's seasoned or toasted, you know, because it's not charred, it hasn't already been aged. It can pump in a lot of like menthol, a lot of very viscous or very intense flavors, very much oak-like and menthol-like. And it does this real nasty effect for like the first 9 months. And up to like 17 months, it's not a very good product. But once you get past those 17 months and get to like 2 years plus aging, the rum in those types of barrels, then becomes this nice, rich butterscotch. And that 10-year, it noses like a bourbon. It almost drinks like a bourbon. Like, I was very pleased with that barrel.
You're getting my hopes up.
No, my hopes are so far up right now. That's insane. So, once again, although it does like tons of butterscotch up front, what is the proof on that? Holy shit.
Are we sure this is rum? This is actually good.
No, that's what Turner's doing. That's why this is so, I want to, you know, and it's like, what Turner does is he changes your perception of what rum can be, because he's, I mean, honestly, it's alchemy, right, Turner? Did we lose him?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
I mean, it's rum and it's whiskey and it becomes its own thing. And I find what you're doing is kind of bringing where most of the time with whiskey and you finish, you don't want to over finish it to make it taste too much like port, or you don't want to over finish to make it too much taste, take too much like rum. But with rum and whiskey, it's almost like you want to over flavor it with the whiskey so that the whiskey is balancing with the rum, so you're not sure whether you're drinking rum or whiskey, but you're getting all the really awesome flavors of that vanilla from the rum. And this one, like you said, I can pick up a little bit of that menthol. There's a little bit of that, almost like it's a breath mint or a butter mint, one of those, you know, those butter mints that you have after it's there. But then there's that butterscotch and that whiskey flavor, and it's such a, I would say, you could call this the Rolling Fork Party.
I gotta tell you, this is the one that I poured, and if you can talk about this one, because you won at the World Spirits Competition in San Francisco. You got a gold medal for this one. This is the 11-year-old El Salvador, and I gotta tell you, this is like a chocolate caramel candy bar in your mouth. I mean, this just is just full of, it's like a holiday candy bar every time I taste it.
Yeah.
This is.
It's 2008, and I brokered about 25 barrels of El Salvadorian rum. From the Ron Chuchuichan, I'm going to mispronounce his name. I apologize, Ron. distillery. There's only one distillery in El Salvador. And shit. And so I wired half of the buy, and then no one responded for 5 months. I was like, oh, I got grifted.
Oh, wow.
You know what? You play in international waters, you're going to get bit by a shark. Shit happens. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the guy pops back up and he's like, oh, we're ready. I'm like, what? Oh my God, this is great. He's like, and also, if you can come pick it up yourself, you can have it. I won't make you pay anymore. I'm like, you want two gringos to get in a van and make it to El Salvador?
Jesus, dude. Do you have a death wish?
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, man, I'll pay the second half of the money owed. Let's put this on the table and get this the fuck out of there, because I won't make it back. we got this phenomenal vanilla bomb that was, you know, right around 100 in 20 proof. And so then we proofed it down to 110 and then put it in a variety of bourbon, rye, port, and sherry casks and let it ride for 22 months. And you know, what was fun about that project was the base product was vanilla heavy plus, but very singular. No maturation, no buttery middle palate, no real good finish. Like, it was just, it was what it was. It was straight vanilla out of a column still. They made a very clean product. And we were able to just kind of see maturation over two seasons in almost 2 years and see what it could do to a base product. And we were very thrilled with the outcome.
Well, so one of the unique things about all your bottles and barrels, it seems like you have a story like for every single one. Like, there's something that happened that wasn't normal, and that's one thing that's really kind of cool. I mean, you have all these different brands and all this stuff that's happened to it and all the different things and all the, you know, you're so involved personally. Do you just have, what do you do with the barrels where it's like, it's just an average thing? You buy it, you age it, you put it in something, you dump it, you bottle it. And then are you disappointed when that happens?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look,
we all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now.
I
ain't gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Oh, because you have those and you know them, and so you just buy them, and then you don't talk about them.
Never mention it again.
It's the coworkers you don't like, or the cousins in your family that you don't really want to talk to at family functions. Like, you just live with them, and then you cycle them up to the Starlight crew and let them play with them. And but you know what we've been in, part and parcel is a lot of our partnership with the Starlight Distillery, is it's increased our ability to play with more unique shit. So we're in our seventh year of operation, our fifth year of sales, and we have so much to learn, but we continue to find opportunities to get that growth. And you just keep making less, you keep making more successes than failures, and you don't go out of business, hopefully.
Well, that's a good plan. I mean, not to go out of business, right? But at the same time, I think it's hard to go out of business when you're doing what you do and you're producing the liquid that you are producing, and then putting the time and effort that you put in to promote it. So I think that you're doing all the right things, but I know from, you know, the standpoint, you know, some days you wake up and you got to say, what the fuck am I doing? And then other days you can't wait for the alarm to go off, right?
Oh, it's happened.
Hey, Turner, how many states are you distributing in now?
So we are now in 18 states, and then we will be most likely exporting to Canada starting in January of next year.
You're in Ohio, and Ann is listening. So she basically
is pretty heavily here. Read a few of her comments.
You want me to read a few of her comments?
Is she harassing us?
You don't have your glasses there.
No, I'm just...
Did she talk about the single barrel that she's going to have at the single barrel Saturday?
It's a secret there, CT.
It's always a secret.
Well,
she says rum and bourbon is a marriage for the ages. But then she's talking about Donovan Goebel's reply, which he says, I have lots of amazing rum that are far more interesting than any whiskey I've ever tasted. And then she says, Donovan Goebel, right? People are missing out. And on some level, I'm very okay with that. More for me.
And then Ann asks right here, she asked me to ask you, Turner, what's the most amazing barrel finished rum you've ever had?
That's okay. Yeah, it's a loaded question. And
I have a feeling this is going to come with it was an accidental barrel or something.
No. I want to stand up and go find it. In general, my favorite, because I've drinking enough of all of it, where I really like Jamaican rum. It's kind of synonymous with double pot still bourbons, where because it's distilled at a lower temperature and it has more of those fatty acids or what in rum, fatty acids that allow a lot of those flavor components. It's really interesting, and the more that bottle stands open and breathes, it changes over time. And so I've had some older Jamaican rums that are extraordinarily impressive, and that it's like you have one sip, you walk away, come back 15 minutes later, it's an entirely different experience, and you can repeat that, and that's just such a lucky kind of experience to find, but you also got to be willing to chase the weirdness. We did a 22-year-old single barrel out of Guadalupe, which in that ilk was the most well-balanced yet flavor-compacted product that I've ever seen go into a barrel. And it had, instead of like having a start, middle, and finish, it had a start, and then you got citrus, and then you got this like rich caramel middle body, and then you got this toast from the barrel and from the vanillins from the char, and then it went back to citrus, and you're like, and then you would go back 2 days later and find something different. So my favorite thing about what I'm doing, much like what you guys are doing, is we're kind of on this journey to just try really cool shit and see what's out there.
Absolutely. I actually have a weird question, if you don't mind me asking. Do you feel like your like creativity when it comes to flavors is kind of limited by the market itself? Like you can't really do what you want to do?
Man, look at the kid. It doesn't limit what I want to do. It limits what I can sell. it limits, and that's okay. That's okay, because a consumer-based market means that the consumer gets to dictate what they want. And so it's up to that person to decide. And I can try and convince you to put wasabi in your ketchup. I can try and convince you to put salt or mayonnaise or hot sauce in your ketchup, but like some dudes just want ketchup.
You do it.
And that's okay. And so I can throw a whole bucket of shit at you, but our biggest seller is Foursquare, right? Which is from Barbados. It's a pot column blend. It's very well made. It's very well balanced. The Foursquare distillery doesn't go way outside on its yeast strain, so it's not doing something overly creative, but it delivers a phenomenal product. And that, for us, in some aspects, keeps the lights on. But I've got over 9 different countries of rum aging that I am more passionate about because they just get less attention, so maybe they need more attention, so I got to give it to them. But yeah, it's going to take a lot of education, and I appreciate you guys for having me on to get people to buy into rum as a spirit category.
So I'm just completely naive, because the one thing that you send up to me all the time is finished rum, whiskey finished rum on a consistent basis, and. Or now the Amberana one that you sent up, I'm excited to taste that, but Rolling Fork has you sell just rum, right? You don't finish it all. You're selling rum, correct?
Well, everything under Rolling Fork is a rum that has been secondarily matured in a second oak cask.
Okay.
For further maturation. We do buy some barrels that we love so much that we're like, we're not going to touch this. It stays in its original. And we're not going to do any secondary finishing to it.
So that just stays in your garage for Friday nights?
Party guys!
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Anne asks, can you come to Ohio? She wants you to come up to Ohio. I mean, you've got talk about real quick. You did send up one of the Ohio single barrel releases that you did just, I believe, in what was it? September? Was it? Yeah. So, talk about that one. And then, and then answer Anne's question. If you come up, she'll just tell her you're coming to my house and you're going to stay here. If she wants to see you, she has to, that's what's got to happen.
Nah, he's staying with me.
Well, I do, Anne. So I was just in Ohio for the Ohio Rum Society's Halloween party in Columbus. Shout out to those guys. And that was a lot of fun. And Ohio is a control state.
Mm-hmm.
And control states, any state distributorship or just selling booze is not always the most fun thing because we follow a 3-tier system. You want to sell a t-shirt, you print a t-shirt, you put it online, you sell it. You want to sell alcohol, it's a whole different gamut. And Ohio approached us. Was like, we are interested in you guys. And we had already dealt with Oregon and North Carolina and Pennsylvania. And to be candid, it's a very unaware audience that is very frustrating to have a real clear conversation with about what age spirits are. Mm. Well, then Ohio and Ann and these folks come along. They're like, we're interested in you guys. Well, you're not interested in us. Like, I spell rum. That's not interesting to you. And you're a control state. We're not. No. They're like, no, we're really interested. And then they show up And these guys hit 10 barrels. And also, now you're my number one favorite state ever.
OH!
We're fortunate enough to release. So we're starting out with just Barbados Foursquare rum. It's a great introduction to the U.S. market to get people to step outside the bounds of American whiskey, try something new. It's phenomenal. And we rolled out some really awesome casks in the beginning. So for September, we released a 16-year-old Foursquare, which had no secondary finish. It was all just its original resting cask. It's at $1.24. It was distilled in 2007. And going back to the Foursquare Distillery and when Richard and the Foursquare Distillery was really picking up their own distillation methods, they really started hitting stride in 2006 and 2007. So we really like this mark. That year is phenomenal. And you'll see a prefix on the cask number, which is FS07. We also did a 10-year Barbados rum, but it did those 2 years, Tiny, that you just sampled in a Woodford Double Oak barrel. I love it because I think it tastes like bourbon. It's phenomenal. And then we also did a 9-year Foursquare that sat in a Weller 14-year-old cask for over 17 months. All those are cask strength. They're all over 111 proof.
Wow. So the one OHLQ you sent up to us, that's the one that's been released already, correct?
Yes.
So we know that there's a lot more barrels coming, so we're excited about that. But also, so talk about, you wanted a basis. So the one knows, now CT, do you have this, did you buy this Ohio pick?
I didn't, because about that same time I was talking to Turner about, and it just before that it came out about the ORVW bottle, and that's the one that Nash and I bought, that Nash sent you. And I think that was just before that release came through the state of Ohio.
So the ORVW bottle, what, okay, so we've got this, kid, you, so wasn't it, but you're, what I get like on this one here, which the state, you know, the state pick, which I do, we do have. And you were talking about, but I get a ton of graham cracker. Like, it's just like all graham cracker just on the nose. And then it's such a good balance of the barrel. But then there's a lot on this one, a ton of vanilla, marshmallow kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like, I'm getting almost something, like, it's just so, I'm not used to this much sweetness in a liquor. And I'm like, because usually I'm very turned off by that, but it works with this.
Right. That's the whole thing. That's where what the whiskey does to the rum. Now, Turner, are you the one, is that your palate all the time, or do you have a team that's helping you?
Jordan and I, Jordan has a better palate than I do. My partner, Jordan Morris, but it's just me and I. Making our own decisions. And so the sweetness on that one, whether you're trying the old rib cask, there's something about the weeded bourbon cask, which, you know, is a softer grain base than a traditional rye or a traditional corn-based whiskey. And the cane that really allow a really soft vanilla balance to come out in that. Now, Foursquare is known for traditional toasted coconut, kind of in the middle palate. And so that helps build the middle palate, but the finish, you know, this finish is much softer than 112 proof. And a lot of that has to do with the marrying balance of a weeded whiskey cask and the rum.
So, Donovan Goble is on tonight, and he's a rum fan. He talks about he likes the complexities of rum, and he's always liked it better than whiskey. And you know, I respect that because, you know, certain people's palates of what they like. Well, no, but the kid, like, he doesn't, he does not like the sweetness. And so there's a lot of sweetness in rum that isn't always available in whiskey. Now, well, you have to admit, the sweetest rum compared to the sweetest whiskey, rum's going to kick its ass if you're looking for sweetness. But to balance that out like you do, that is a unique, and then make it marketable. But honestly, I've always looked at rum and its drinkability. There was always a drinkability where whiskey was a little bit harsher, and there's always that the sipping and the warmth, where rum, I really, you know, I have to admit, there's not too many times I've drank a good amount of whiskey where the next day ended up that was a good day. But I've drank a lot of rum and come out of it with almost being unscathed. I probably can drink twice as much rum than I could whiskey all throughout my whole life, how it affected me and everything. But at the same time,
I gotta drink more rum.
But what you've done is you've made it so freaking awesome that you pull in the best of both worlds. And I mean,
yeah, I agree. All through high school and all that, I used to be a rum drinker. That was my go-to. Was always rum, and so I was always into all these different kinds of rum. And it wasn't Bacardi. Bacardi was like my turnoff of rums, you know.
Preach.
But this, what you're doing, like I say, it is reinvented myself with rum. You know, but the next up. And Turner was just now talking about it.
Let's do it.
Is the 9-year Barbados finished in the old Rip Van Winkle weeded barrels. So pour y'all a little shot of that. I know CT, he just got up. But when he comes back, that's all he has.
So my question is, Turner.
Which bottle do I have?
The old Rip Van Winkle?
You know, I had to go get
it. The 9-year Barbados.
So, we all have it right now.
CT, we're pouring up the 9-year Barbados there.
I already drank that stuff. I'm moved on.
Okay. But my question is, that old Rip Van Winkle barrel, that still, Turner, was not the same barrel that we were tasting out. That was actually a Pappy Van Winkle barrel from Buffalo Trace, right?
So the one that that you guys were tripping out of, that was a quick-discovered barrel from the old Bernheim distillery where Pappy was originally produced.
Whoa, that's this one.
So the old RVW, the old Rip, that's what Chris is.
That's what he went and did.
I got
he
it.
He went and pulled the sample.
So did I.
That's what I got right there, baby.
Yeah.
So that's this one, and that's the last of it. So I'm going to compare the two.
There you go. I like it.
Hey, Turner, how about this one? How about this one? Venezuelan finished in a Woodford double oak.
It's going to be, I don't know. I'll roll it, CT. I think you're going to like it.
I already drank it. I already know I like it.
All right. So smell that. Oh, God.
So, oh, boy.
You think about rum is... So rum is a very big European product. It's not a very big U.S. consumer-based product. So rum is aged in often two climates. It's either aged in the Caribbean, where it gets all extraction and all evaporation, which is a lot of the reason of why you have to add water to dilute it down to make sure you have an adequate yield. And then you'll get into the economics of the proliferation and bastardization of Bacardi through taxation and shit that happened in the 70s. That's fine. Europe, there's a lot of rum that gets exported to Europe that's aged. It's a very colder climate, so it gets a lot of contraction, but not a lot of expansion. We get to put rum right in Kentucky where it can, or in Indiana and in the Southern Belt where we have all seasons. So we get to watch rum you know, expand and contract throughout the season in the barrel and really have the time to allow the barrel to add its particular mark on an already high quality spirit.
So I'm comparing the Pappy that was from the original, you know, Pappy Van Winkle, you know, before, and then the one that you have with the old Rip Van Winkle. And there's an aspect of it that is more mellow. The flavors are there, but you can taste almost the, there's a age of the barrel kind of thing that's going on along with some butterscotch, where the old Rip Van Winkle barrel is much cleaner. So, okay, so as Ann Dimmick says, the Pappy one that we sampled, right, it's got more, there's a little bit of funk there. Whereas the old Rip that you're talking about, there's not, that funk's not there. It's just the pure flavor, you know?
Yeah, nothing but flavor going on right here.
I think that's because that old Rip barrel, or the Pappy barrel is just 23 years old. I mean...
Yeah, as old as me.
So when do you
run flavors up front and then getting that's bourbon insane. And barrel that's flavors? On the
let's just drink the rest of the bottle, call it a night.
I'm trying to crash here, honestly. I'm like,
Turner, how old was this Venezuelan that was put in the double oak? This is what we drank when we were.
It was 2 years old when we dropped it. So it's been sitting in double oak barrel for almost 3 years.
That is, it's amazing.
I think on that sample, Turner climbed up and he had to work so hard to get it out. He dropped a little bit of sweat in there that just added into the flavor because I just remember him trying to get up to that Woodford double oak barrel sitting up there.
Yeah, he was working for that one.
I think that's when I got hit in the nuts from below.
Rick, what?
Trying to hit me. See, that's more of the flavor right
trying
there.
To get it.
That was during the Pappy. That's when you were. That's when Rachel was thieving the Pappy barrel barefoot.
Yes, that is true. But that Venezuelan is, I mean, drinking it side by side with the Weller or the, I'm sorry, the old Rip, I take that any day of the week. It is absolutely delicious. It balances. It definitely brings out some more of the barrel than maybe the old Rip Van Winkle does.
So Turner, it's like when we're down there, it's like I would like to come to your house because honestly, what you're doing here, I love, but you've intrigued me enough. And then what Donovan's been saying, it's like I'd like to bring Donovan down with us, is that it sounds like you have some fantastic rum, just, you know, an aged that defies what rum is.
Are we just inviting ourselves to this dude's house? I feel like that's not cool.
Well, it's not like we don't know Turner, right, Turner?
Turner, let's live with you. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, get ready to diapers and shit, but come on over.
See, there you go. Hey, I'm all for it.
I'm a great baby.
I've got
you at Starlight.
Damn.
What?
I'll meet him at Starlight. That's way easier.
Yeah, that's easy because he's got it in barrels that are aging, but it sounds like what he's got in his garage.
I'll follow him home from Starlight.
His garage. I mean,
start stalking him.
You've got me back to like my rum roots right there, and this is fantastic, but I just would, it's like, okay, so CT's not like feeling the rum aspect, he feels the tequila aspect, but I'm feeling like the pure, you know what I mean? It's like, this is like your mezcal is my rum, you know, CT?
I can't say anything because I like I like both. I mean, I like a tequila or a mezcal finished in a bourbon barrel. I like a rum. Like, I mean, the way that Turner does this with expressions of different rums is what I think is just cool. Because, you know, the other thing about rum, and I think this is something we haven't really talked about, but in Ohio, what kind of rum can you actually get? There's not a lot of rums that are available. You go in and you can get a Bacardi.
Yeah, I agree.
So what I think that's special that he brings to the table, not only is this a barrel-aged rum, but he's bringing rums that you don't get a chance to buy in Ohio anyway. You're not buying a Venezuelan, a Foursquare really is not. I don't know that even Foursquare is available in Ohio, but there's not a lot of rums in Ohio. You have to go out of state. So the fact you can get them in a way that kind of ties the two together to me is awesome.
So Brian Hoyt said he's gotten bourbon folks and Scotch folks to try Rolling Fork and they love it, Turner. And then Ann is talking about that with Donovan that we all got to meet at Starlight, and CT's right on there, and maybe we'll drag the kid that day, and we got to meet down at Starlight coming up, because that would to have Ann Dimmick, have Donovan Goble come down, and then all of us. That would be a fantastic day, right, Turner?
We love Ann Dimmick, so she's got an open door policy. So if Ann Dimmick wants to come down, she's invited. Donovan, it sounds like you want to try some Jamaican with me, buddy. So let's make it happen. And yeah, I mean, you guys, come on down. Like,
hey, real quick story, because I think
come on up, because I'm down south.
You're gonna have to get on a plane. Come on, Nash. But hey, yeah, I'm not
there for that.
You will do it on a not even a bet, dude.
I'll go right now.
So Turner, I'm at a local distillery in Columbus, Ohio that I go to for lunch a lot of times after I get done with work. And I'm there the day that some of the stuff that you did with the OHLQ is getting released, and the bartender is talking to one of the guys that I believe was their chef. And they're talking about some things, and he picks up a bottle of Rolling Fork, and he's like, yeah, I picked this up. We picked it up today from such and such, the place that they buy their liquor from, the liquor store. And he's like telling the guy, and I'm like, have you ever had it? And so they like turn around and they're like, well, no, it's new. We've never had it. What are you talking about? And I'm like, well, do you like rum? And the guy's like, well, yeah, we love rum. And I'm like, if you like rum, this is going to be a game changer. So we ended up talking about it for quite a while, and the guys were just super excited to try it. So I think that, you know, the state of Ohio, the thing is we have a lot of people that are into bourbons. They're into all these different things, but the newness of what you're doing with Rolling Fork is getting good traction, because there's people out there that are recognizing that it is what it is and that you're doing some awesome stuff.
It makes sense, Turner. What you're doing totally makes sense at a time where I really think you picked the right time period to do it. I mean, you know, a couple years ago, nobody liked finished bourbon. They used to, you know, 2019, I'd get my ass handed to me if I brought up Angel's Envy. It's like, they'd tell me it wasn't bourbon. Right now, everybody, like, it is a massive wave of people loving finished bourbon. And I like a certain amount of finished bourbon. There's no doubt about it. It's not all the greatest. There's no doubt. But at the same time, I really love the fact of what you're doing with the rum. And we've talked about this a little bit. I would have been a pirate. I can drink the shit out of rum. But I've never drank good rum. So, Turner, that day when I met you at the Bourbon on the Banks, where you basically had like two trash cans and a wood piece going across, and you had the Rolling Fork out there, and you were no tent. And then they put you in the sun, and it's just like, and then, you know, Alan was right there telling you about how much he loved your grandfather's history, right? Into Indiana and everything, how you, your family history. So it was fantastic. I mean, meeting
that
you.
That was our first meeting. And ever since, man, it's been great. I'm telling you what, I've learned more and more about this rum and the history and your history. And it's been fantastic. And I know there is so much more to your background, your history, and to all this rum. And looking forward to it and to the future.
Yeah.
Cheers to your future, dude. I mean, it's awesome. And I appreciate what you're doing.
Cheers. I got started fucking around with a 9-gallon pot still and a 6-gallon pot still out of my garage. And that was in 2010. And then I met my partner Jordan in 2012. And he's a smart guy. He's electrical, much smarter than I am. So then we started working together. And, you know, we got to working. I had a hand crank mill in my garage where I was milling my own corn and shit and coming up with my own grain-based mash bills. And then we started playing with sorghum because sorghum's a Kentucky native product that can grow in Kentucky, primarily the mid and upper Midwest.
Wisconsin, I went by a bunch of those, yeah?
Yeah, Kansas, yeah. And when we got into molasses, and, you know, to gelatinize a grain-based spirit and to get it to turn from, you know, a grain to a fermentable sugar, you got to heat it up to like 204 degrees. Then the corn has to cook. Then it has to slowly temperature down without massive change of temperature. So it has to take time to when it drops to when you can add the barley and then the rye. And that takes like 8 hours to get to fermentation. Then, like, we started playing with molasses. It's like, oh, we could do this in an hour and a half. But, you know, when we worked on coffee filters and aeration and all these things to make something out of my garage that didn't make you go blind and my dad didn't hate. And we started to make something that didn't suck. And notable people were like, You guys have some sense of what you're doing, but we had no distillery money. And so that's how I started this shit in a garage. And I appreciate, you know, making it on time to hang out with you guys.
Yeah. And wow. Like you said, I like the fact that you tell the story about how your family went from being on this high mountain, you know, like they were one of the top distilleries, and then they, you know, went through what they went through, and now you're rebuilding your part of it. And I think that's very commendable, and I think people need to know your story for sure, because when they see the bottle, it's not just the rum that's been aged in a barrel, and there's more to you than just that. So
exactly, and I'm glad that we're being able to get this out there. A little bit of it, because like I said, there's so much more.
So much more. The Amberana that you sent up. Talk about that to finish this off, because I got this poured in the glass. And sometimes when you're drinking whiskey with an Amberana finish, if you don't like sweetness, you might not like Amberana. As CT, he's just not a fan of that. But when you combine it with rum, explain what Amberana is, and then also explain how this came about.
Came about through our fine friends at Starlight, because they had a contract with the China brokerage that had a contract with the government of Brazil that export Amberana barrels. Yeah. And then there's the question of, well, what is an Amberana barrel?
Right.
An Amberana is a type of wood that grows in the southern Amazon or in Brazil. It's a protected oak. I don't even know if it's an oak. protected species that is traditionally used to age cachaça. And cachaça is a Brazilian equivalent of rum. It's a cane-based spirit. And pretty much all cachaça is crude. So aged cachaça is not very common, especially in the U.S. market. But up until probably the past 7 years ago, nobody had ever heard or thought of Amarana as a thing.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, we're a tangent to the U.S. whiskey growth. All of a sudden, it became a thing. And you were making whiskey that tasted like buttery cinnamon. Mm.
Syrup, like French toast?
Well, it's like, and I will say, Ted's use of the Amburana is different than some, you know, like I think his, and I can't remember because I've talked to him about this, because it seems like they found a barrel that they used initially and then it just kind of it snowballed into what it is today. And he was bringing Amburana into the country that he was actually helping other people get it because they couldn't get it. And, his use of it, his blends work better for me than some, because there is a lot of it out there, and some of it tastes like cinnamon toast crunch. Like,
so CT, why the fuck haven't you done Amburana finished something in cinnamon toast crunch? Because that's what you do.
Probably get sick on camera.
I mean, for God's sakes, you pour everything on top of cereal. Why the hell? This makes sense. You know what? We're going to make some French toast next Saturday, and we're going to use this Amburana finished rum, and we're going to use it as syrup, and we're going to have it with butter.
I'm just going to tell
you. I'm down.
There's not too many cereals that I wouldn't put this rum on top of. I'm already thinking of ideas of this.
I can't wait till you soak Twinkies. I'm waiting for that one. Soak the Twinkies in the whiskey.
There's a product there. We're all buying alcoholic adult things now anyway. So
wait a minute, Turner. So if I soak a Twinkie in your four square rum, you're a buyer?
Sure, buddy. Absolutely.
Bro, I'm a buyer. I'm like down for this. I'm so excited.
Hey, wait. Well, not only that, but let's deep fry that fucker. We'll deep fry that Twinkie. So this, I would have to say that this Amburana mixed with the rum, I think, honestly, the rum mixed way better with the Amburana than the whiskey does. There's an aspect of mellowness that the rum is, it's like a transition between the two that's really spectacular. Where I find Amburana finishes with whiskey are separate experiences.
The whiskey is too oily, it's too grain based. For whatever reason, I don't like it. And the Amburana is apparently it's such a soft oak that you. Be it the booze from rum is cane based. It has no grain maturation or no grain production to have these oils and fattier acids that can compose in whiskey. It's a much smoother combination. And then also people fuck it up by using chips instead of having the actual barrel.
Okay. So,
I think that's the difference. Is Ted uses an actual barrel, correct?
Yeah.
Well, wait. CT.
Greg Snyder says that Amburana oak is awesome, has so many amazing flavor extractables, such a cinnamon balm.
Yeah.
And he definitely agrees.
Yeah, but CT, why are you talking about Ted? It's Turner uses them. I get that he gets them from Ted, but yes, other people are using chips.
But I think that Ted is, because he was able to get it the way he got it, he was able to do barrels with it instead of just adding it into a already oak barrel.
What Nash said and what Greg said, the barrels that we're using from Ted are thick for 6 youth cycles barrels, and you're getting that flavor out of it.
Yeah, like
super it. Nash and what Greg are talking about is
I could drink it for dessert.
It's such a complex barrel that it has legs. And you can need to make 17 you products drink out it. Of one barrel.
I wouldn't kick it all better for eating crackers.
You can do a lot with one barrel, and it'd still be very interesting.
Kind of like a Madeira barrel where you could use it time and time again.
Yeah.
And have you done any Madeira finishes?
Not yet.
Oh, you got it. I got a guy.
Wait, so and he does. He definitely does. But Ann Dimmick said,
I can hook you up.
Wait, I got to tell you, Turner. Ann Dimmick said it's kind of, I think it's like being dragged down a gravel road, but in a good way. That's why Ann Dimmick is who Ann Dimmick is right there. There's no way to. That is like the perfect description of something that I don't even think. That's the first time I think I ever. I have to give that a heart. Can I give that a heart? Yeah, I'm giving that some love right there.
You have to be a pretty optimistic person to sit there and say that being thrown down a gravel road was a good thing.
I mean, there's ways that you can.
I mean, we've all met Anne. I mean, the kid hasn't, but we've all met Anne, and we completely understand that. Yep, she said that's her.
My final four. I'm going to have to do this 14-year Jamaican rum. It just happens to be right over the left shoulder of Turner there. So feel free, guys, if y'all have a bottle.
Hey, Turner. Do you remember the last sample that you gave me that's, like, old as shit? I think it's 16-year, right?
Oh, yeah.
He goes,
I'm 16.
Yeah, 16-year-old Foursquare.
What?
That's the 2007 mark. It's awesome.
Oh, so you ready for awesome? Hey, finish fuck off.
I'm going to go get some... I'm gonna go get some Apple Gate or whatever the hell rum that is, since I don't have that. I'll try it and see how.
Are you gonna get your? I think you're actually probably going down to get some salted caramel crown, right?
Apple Gate.
I think it is. Hold on, I'm gonna get it.
Yeah, it's clean.
Yep. There we go. Yeah. Give me the empty. Yeah. There we go.
I will, Turner. I will say, like, you really have changed my perception of rum, though. Like, I went into this being like, oh, God, I hate rum. But the way that you have actually made this work, I'm really impressed.
That's exactly what I think you're going for, right, Turner?
Yeah, 100% is. And so, we've literally just done the reverse of what major rum producers have done the past 30 years.
Mm.
So I appreciate the sentiment. I'm not the distiller, and we buy from a lot of amazing distilleries that we are huge fans of, because now there's a core component of making things the right way. And so we're just the purveyors of things that aren't trash.
Well, you had the eye for it, though, in fairness.
No, yeah, I mean, Turner, to go out and do what you're doing, I mean, going and picking these barrels out is something that you can't demean what you're doing by, like, it's not something that just anybody did or would want to do or was doing. And the fact that you went out and started doing that, but you know what, I could see down the line, you know, you were running that still. I mean, you get this going and you get the rolling fork really rolling. You could start to distill your own rum. There's no doubt about it, right? It's possible.
Okay.
Wow. Hey, don't move too much. The video glitches and you look really odd.
So, Turner, so you were saying no or yes to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I saw the excitement, but then I heard a no, and I'm like, what? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I meant to say let's go.
Let's go, not no. Okay. It glitched.
You guys have been to our good friend Royce Neely's outfit?
Yes.
And we are doing a long fermentation, which is over 13 days. Wild yeast strain, double pot Kentucky rum.
So explain. Okay, so I never knew. So the first ever when the pilgrims came over, the first ever fermentation was called natural fermentation. And it usually took about a month, and they got here a little late in the season because they got lost. And that first fermentation didn't take. So then in the spring they did it, and it was about 33 days. But, you know, the average fermentation for whiskey or whatever is 72 hours, and people talk. And that is all about streamlining the yeast to basically eat the sugar as fast as it can, but still produce some good alcohol. They've got it down to a science. But when you talk about a natural fermentation, it's basically you throw all the stuff in there and wait for the yeast to come, and then you wait for it to eat it, and then you wait for whatever. And there's something said about, like you said, when you think about it, you think about all the people trying to rush the maturation. Well, everybody's already rushing the yeast production because you can't sit around that long waiting. It's just not financially part of the model, right? You gotta have the yeast with muscle produce some good stuff, and they've got it down. But at the same time, if you take your time, 13 days, I mean, honestly, it's got to make the yeast, you know, they did it, and they didn't do it under pressure.
From Medley Brothers Distillery and from Walton's Bourbon and from Medley. I got a great recording about how the towns came in and fucked everything up in the mid-90s. And if you think about it, before the 90s, people were often using Cypress as a fermentation tank. Mm-hmm. So we were fermenting in oak. Which I'm not a scientist. I'm not that person. But I can tell you that it added a different flavor extraction to whiskey produced between the 50s and the 80s than it does now when it goes into a steel tank. And you know, much respect to Royce and what he's doing. They ferment in oak. And when you add activated yeast, I don't know what activated yeast. I know what it says on the label. Activated. It's hyper ready to activate, to convert those sugars to ethanols in a swift process where it takes less than 3 to 5 days.
Awesome.
Wild yeast, to what you're talking about, there's an invariable of time. Now, it's predicted down between 12 to 15 days, but, you know, let's put shit in Cypress. And let's throw wild yeast on it, and let's see what happens. And we bought $3,000 worth of molasses, and we're going to rip it. And it might suck. It might take us 2 to 3 years to figure out what we need to do to tailor down and where we are missing, whether it's a temperature issue or whether it's a particular type of component issue that we're using. We're going to learn it all. We're rolling the dice on Saturday.
Rolling forth.
Did you say on Saturday? This Saturday, you're rolling the dice.
We're starting the fermentation process.
Wow.
I'm scrolling back way back to the middle of this whole conversation that we're having. Greg
Everyone, yeast.
A comment. He says, love it. Trials, tribulations, experiments, successes, failures, try and try again. Love what Turner and his team have accomplished. He had put this in here way back halfway through this podcast tonight. So that just goes right along with what you're saying just right now.
And then Donovan said 13 days doesn't seem like too long. 3 to 4 weeks, that's long fermentation. Hamden is all natural fermentation, open air, yeast added. And then, he's leaving now. But at the same time, like you said, 3 to 4 years and you can figure it out. That is really cool, Turner. That means you're just ready. You're not going to rush but you're going to perfect your craft. And I'm all for that. That's how we all go about doing things, right?
I forget who said it, but someone said it. It's picking a single barrel is easy because you can find the best of the lot and you can pick it, just like Solomon Dog. Picking two single barrels and blending them with 4 to 6 barrels that suck to make something that's good is an art.
Yeah.
It's what makes a distiller a distiller. There's no doubt, or a blender a blender.
Yeah. Makes blender.
Because you got to know what to do with the barrels. I mean, there's some places you just got to throw them out. But overall, there's, throwing out a barrel, if it's...
They don't throw them out. They repurpose them.
So, long story short, lose money on all this. Like, if it sucks, I'll put it into something. How's that do? But over the longevity of time...
What do you think of this?
We hope to make something that's... of quality and of worth that we can continue to age.
So the 16 year, I'm tasting it here.
Yeah.
Thank you, motherfucker. She said, oh my God. So you did it. It tastes like there's still half of this and it goes to UCT and you Nash, when you guys come up, you're going to taste this. It is it's the definition of perfection of what he's doing. There's oak, there's whiskey, there's rum, there's bourbon, there's rye. There's every aspect in there. Perfect balance, not too sweet, but sweet enough. And, that's a special, I need a bottle of that, Turner.
Turner, which leads me into my next question. Can you leak any information about what's coming forth in the state of Ohio through these bottles?
Is Ann still on? Like what?
Yeah, Ann just said there's the tagline, thank you, mofo. That's what Ann is still on, so you really probably can't turn.
And if we're going to get drug across the freaking gravel driveway, at least we can know when we get to the end of
the it says, what we're doing. It says, no. That's what she just
posted. Hey, this is real important, and this is from Greg. And Turner, if you want to discuss, I can help you with what you want to accomplish. Wild yeast can create many unique, unreproducible aromas and flavors might be awesome, but might not be reproducible. You know how to reach out to him.
So. I do.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And hopefully we're going to have a Turner's Reserve coming soon.
Yeah, I'm not stepping on nice about it. That man. Or whatever the kids say now, that man's earned all his flowers, whatever the fuck it is.
He's the goat.
Yeah, I mean, he made Russell Reserve.
Yep.
Like, if I'm going to think of a brand that I've bought more of in the past decade, it's nothing but that. Like, that was the quintessential, like, that in Knob Creek 9-year barrel proof when that shit was rolling out for $55, like, it's just like, you can't make something better than what those guys have produced and what he's been able to do with Chicken Cock and taking over and managing that brand and building its expressions, but also just the core components.
Turner, wait till you taste this March when this year, what he was distilling went into, it's so much night and day between the bottle that was on the shelf last year and what it was on this year. And then now the next year is going to be when he made all the barrels and picked all the staves. Whereas the year before, he just bought the barrels and put his distillate in, and it's good. I cannot wait till March when he's got all those wood sugars coming in from that West Virginia Great Barrel Company. And then the last thing I'm going to say is, Ann is saying Single Barrel Saturday might be a thing again. And I'm like, and she's like, and rum folks, this will be our moment. But at the same time, I'm going to tell you, and I want to come down to Columbus and hang out. We'll just spend the whole night, me, you, CT, in CT's truck, just waiting for the getting in line and waiting to get Single Barrel. And we'll do lives the whole throughout the whole night and in line. And we invite Ann to come with us.
Hey. We'll have Nash come up and Turner can get in line.
Nash is coming up on Friday. So CT, that morning you need to drive up and wait in line on that the secondary Single Barrel Friday that's coming. Nash is going to be here Thursday night. You got to be on the podcast Matt. Matt from Augusta that Thursday night. Then we're going to get up early, and then we're going to do Single Barrel Friday morning. And then at 11 o'clock, we're doing a podcast. 2 o'clock, we're doing a podcast. And then the Christmas party. And Turner, you are invited to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys Christmas party at Gervasi Vineyard. And they have lodging, but there's also lodging here in Canton. It's Friday night, December 15th, if you want to bring your wife up. We are having the Scotchy Bourbon Boys Christmas party.
Yeah. Hey, Turner, I'm on the way. You can stop by here and we'll go up and we'll stand in line and be talking it up like, hey, man, I heard they're going to have this rolling fork. It's going to be epic, you know? And everybody else is going to be standing there going, yeah. I hope I get a Weller Blue.
Craig Schneider just said, send me the dates. I will send you the dates. And Ann said, you can save me a spot. That's not even, and they don't let you put chairs out.
What did Ann do to like prevent her from like having chairs?
No, so when you're in line, people, you can't save spots in line, and she's just like being sarcastic as hell right there.
Oh, I was like I thought she did something. Like, I was like, whoa,
OHLQ. Ann. OHLQ is well aware of what saving a spot means. It means living hell.
Oh yeah, that makes more sense.
Turner just said something and we couldn't hear him. It
didn't. Okay, go ahead, Turner.
Spot into the can where it's like, no, pandemic, she's the spot. She gets to sit.
Yes. I mean, if everybody knew where Ann was, the line would be triple.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't know where is she then?
Give me their phone.
Oh, so that is just spectacular. All right, everybody.
I'm going to bring a chair and have a little sign on it that says Andemic.
And see what happens.
Yeah, just to see what happens.
Mine's going to say Greg Schneider. I mean, I'm going all out.
There you go.
And so Todd Carnes has just jumped in and he goes, rum, huh? No. Todd, rum finished in whiskey barrels. It's where it's at. It's something new and it's spectacular. You need to check out Rolling Fork.
It's actually it's just being put out there and
no, it's actually 9 years
more and more.
Yeah, it's actually 9 years old.
Yep, absolutely.
Spectacular.
Or 14.
Hey,
or 11. Just depending on what country you want to talk about.
like we said, and just kind of recapping this, I mean, and we went there, what, in March? Is that when we met at the distillery turn?
It was cold as shit, but it was April.
It was cold as shit. It was nice, though, and it was still, like, sunny out. But we drank from so many different barrels as we were aging, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yep. And then Todd's... And then... obviously,
here we are trying to educate Todd.
Yeah,
and he was on the barrel pick for Ohio.
Well, Turner, you like Todd. You know Todd, right, Turner?
Yeah. Todd Carnes.
Yep. He did the hookup. But you know, we're all on your side, Turner. Not only I'll just have to say this, Turner. I you know, your whiskey. Your whiskey finished rum is good, and all that you're doing, but also meeting you and getting to know you, that's the part about what good spirits is about. And you definitely have a passion for what you're doing, and then also you have a kindness, and you have the attitude and everything it takes to be in this industry, because that's what I love about being in this industry. Before I got into this, I could count a couple friends. Now that I'm into the whiskey industry and the spirits industry, I've got 50, 60 really good friends. And then when you call people family and brothers, I mean, you're part of that. How you know, there's just something about good spirits and what and making it and what you're doing and everybody in the industry that makes it's what life is about, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, because you're working hard and you have a passion, but at the moment it's paying some bills and everything, but it's not like you're sitting there and you're in a mansion right now in your podcast studio, and your wife is, we know what's going on. But at the same time, man, it's like there's a love between the people that are doing this, and there's a love of the passion of what they're doing, but also the love between the people. And that's what good spirits is about, right?
Well, Bishop just tuned in and he said, "What's up, Turner?"
Oh, Bishop's
also
here.
Also, Greg said he's about to tune out, and he is going to be off the grid for a couple of weeks. He's going hunting, pheasant hunting in South Dakota for a few days. So, cheers, buddies, and drink what you like, and like what you drink.
Greg, take Luca with you. Teach him how to go pheasant hunting. He wants to go.
Good luck, Greg, and cheers.
Wait. And
cheers to you, Alan.
Okay, so we're gonna end the audio part of the podcast, but we're gonna keep Facebook rolling because we got Bishop here, we've got Andemic. We're talking about the parties just starting. So let's did you bring a ghost story? She's like ready for it. It's just like, here we go. So everybody on the podcast, thanks for listening tonight. And remember,
I love it, Alan.
You're such a thanks. Thanks, Alan. I know what you think of Nickelback. God, it's just like I just feel like I'm a 2-year-old boy now. It's just like, wow. That was like harsh, Alan. All right. So anyways, good bourbon equals good friends and good times. Thank you, Turner, for joining us on the audio podcast. We're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. You have anything to let? Just give out all your information, Turner, to promote yourself.
On Instagram, worldwide brand at rollingpunk.com. And if you're ever at the Scotland, pass it off to Tom. They might have some of the bars. And I just gave Alan a barrel of 12-year-old Brazilian rum that was just freshly dumped, and he's going to be doing some cool shit with that. So we're looking forward to see what he does.
Sounds awesome. All right. Super Dash CT.
Last question before you go. How many states are you currently distributed in?
I can ask that. I can answer that. He said 18.
Okay.
All right. Am I right, Turner? All right.
Because I asked the question already.
Yeah, he did. Okay. All right.
All right. I must have been reading comments or something.
Yeah, you must have been. All right.
And distracted, I guess.
Good bourbon equals good times and good friends.
And good mistakes.
Remember, drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. And live your life dangerously. And little Steve-O's going to take us out.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
All right.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.